Today on Real Radio.
Being a Christian and avoiding divorce, we're going to be finding out what a Christian has got to do regarding this threat against marriage, against the family, against your spouse. And you might be here this evening and you're saying, well, Pastor Jack, I'm not married. It doesn't apply to me. You listen up. It applies to you. Because what you want to do is avoid the pitfalls and traps of what others have fallen into by listening to a series just like this.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a topical series based on scriptural wisdom that guides us believers in practical and godly living. Now we're about to hear part of this series called Being a Christian and Avoiding Divorce. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles tonight and turn to our theme verse in this series that we have been going through. This is, I think, something like number 14 in our series together. It's good stuff, though. We need this. And I can tell you right now, on Wednesday nights, when we're not having a special service, on these Wednesday nights, I encourage you to bring your friends, invite friends who've gone through or would love to avoid the damages of divorce. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. This verse applies to our lives in every one of these topics. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Boy, that's powerful for tonight. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, and he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're looking at a message tonight entitled, Being a Christian and Avoiding Divorce. We're going to be looking tonight at avoiding divorce, and then next time together, we're going to look at how to survive a divorce, and then we're going to be looking at life after a divorce. What does the Bible say about divorce? The Bible says a lot about it. A lot about it. Being a Christian and avoiding divorce, we're going to be finding out what a Christian has got to do regarding this threat against marriage, against the family, against your spouse. And you might be here this evening and you're saying, well, Pastor Jack, I'm not married. It doesn't apply to me. You listen up. It applies to you. Because what you want to do is avoid the pitfalls and traps of what others have fallen into by listening to a series just like this. God says he hates it. Now, I'm going to ask you this. I ask you this a lot, but believe me, I'm setting you up for something. How many of you are Christians tonight? Raise your hands. Okay, put your hands down. There's more Christians for some reason on this side of the building than on this side of the building. But we're glad you're all here anywho. That's wonderful. Glad. But listen, it is very important tonight that I don't preach or teach at you, but we look to the Word. And so in doing that, I want to be more conversational tonight because of the pain that divorce has brought and is bringing in the lives of people. So I want to be very, very clear tonight that I'm going to be predominantly speaking to the believer tonight exclusively. He said, well, Pastor Jack, I brought my non-Christian friend here tonight. Listen, your non-Christian friend will do very well to listen in. But I'm talking tonight specifically to the Christian who a moment ago raised their hands and would have no problem keeping their hand up if I were to ask them, do you view yourself as a real Bible-believing Christian? Do you believe that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you were to raise your hand, you got to understand something. You really cannot be a Christian without being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. To follow him is to be a Christian. To follow him, listen, church, is not something that you and I pick and choose from. You cannot say that you're a Christian, but do this, that, or the other thing. I know you don't want to hear that, but the Bible makes it clear that if you are doing that, you are deceiving yourself. And the truth, 1 John chapter 1 says, is not in you. You say, well, that's a strong thing to say. Of course it's a strong thing to say. I'd rather have you hear it here on this side of eternity than on the other side when it's too late. Don't fool yourself. Make sure tonight when you consider yourself a Christian, count the cost. I would much rather have you leave here tonight. I don't know if you'll ever hear this in a church. I'd rather have you leave here tonight seriously doubting your faith in Christ, not because he's not real, not because his Bible's not true, but maybe because you've never made that commitment to Christ. I'd rather have you go home tonight and cry yourself to sleep on your pillow, wondering where you are in eternity with God, than leave this place tonight having deceived yourself, patting yourself on the back, thinking all is well, when in reality your life is heading down a path of total destruction. See, what are you saying all this for? Because there's no topic so sensitive and generates more emotion and feeling and hatred even, anger, suffering, than divorce. And maybe tonight, believer or non-believer, you would agree with God and say, I see why he hates divorce. It's a horrible thing. The Bible's very clear on it. And over the course of these next several weeks, we're going to be talking a lot about it. Perhaps there's nothing more contrary to practical Christianity than divorce. Nothing more contrary to practical Christianity than divorce. I'll explain in a moment. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. He said, do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. I'm going to ask you to look to the screens at a couple of statements or facts that we've gathered together for this. Is the divorce rate different for second marriages, for example? And according to a 2001 report for the Center for Disease and Control, they stated that one out of every five of first marriages end within 5 years. One in three within 10 years of a second marriage. Second marriages are fare even worse. The CDC found a strong probability that second marriages will end in separation or divorce, 23% after 5 years and 39% after 10 years. This is into the second marriage. Why is that data important? Because, church, as we go through this tonight, we're not talking about a contract being broken. We're talking about a life being ripped. And I know that you're going to say tonight, Pastor Jack, you don't know what was going on in my family. Believe me, I may not know you specifically tonight, but I know what was going on in your family. By now, after 20 years of being involved in ministry, I think Lisa and I have heard it all. Unbelievable stuff. I think there's a few more slides, is there not? Values decline, divorce increases, Korea. Divorces in Korea jumped by 21,800 last year, with infidelity cited as one of the most common reasons. Many Koreans believe the rising divorce rate reflects the decline of traditional values. Sounds like America, huh? Along with the impact of Western lifestyles. Isn't that sad that we export bad habits? And the pressures of modern urban life. Nearly 70% of the divorced couples ended their marriage because of infidelity, physical and mental abuse, and personality conflicts. Next slide. According to the Enrichment Journal on the divorce rate in America, the divorce rate in America for first marriages is 41%. Wow. The divorce rate in America for a second marriage is 60%. The divorce rate in America for a third marriage is 73%. Why? Billy Graham said years ago in a powerful statement, if a Christian marriage, which is bound by the promises of God and committed to the will of God, devoted to the word of God, should ever fail, then those non-believers who are looking on at that marriage have no greater excuse for never becoming a Christian than that. Marriage is a big deal. And it's the biggest of deals when it comes to believers. And I want to ask you this question. Don't answer it, but it's all going to come together. Who is the authoritative figure in your life? Don't answer. Who is the authoritative figure in your life? Every one of us has an authoritative figure in our life. And tonight we're going to begin where it always begins, and that is really when we consider protecting our lives from divorce. How do we ward off against it? Is by considering this. We're going to look and be talking about tonight some very simple truths, but we're going to go to the war room of our thoughts. Did you guys know, did you realize the Bible teaches clearly that everything that you and I deal with first makes its appearance in our thought life? And I'm going to be really candid tonight. I don't have very many notes this evening, intentionally, because I want some things just to be coming as the Lord would lead. Number one tonight, I want you to be thinking about, and this is all preparatory to the weeks that we'll have together on this topic, about being a Christian and avoiding divorce. If we're a Christian, husband and wife, and we're en route to heaven, if our faith is really true, then how is it that we cannot keep our marriages together? What is going on? This is a serious thing. Number one, I'm going to ask you to take notes. What should I be doing if I want to avoid divorce for my marriage? Number one is stop. I want you to stop and think about who you really are, who you and I really are. I'm talking to the Christian tonight. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When I consider my own marriage, I need to stop and realize, wait a minute. For Lisa and I need to remember who I am in this whole ordeal. I need to remember that I have fallen short of the glory of God just being a human. Now, you say, Jack, why are you saying that? Because the greatest way to defend and to protect your marriage from divorce is realizing that you and I do not walk on water, that we're not perfect. We need to stop being critical. We need to stop. You say, you don't know what goes on, and she's so mean to me. She's so cutting. I understand that. He's so rude to me, and he's so cold to me. I understand that. But all that happens because one of you or both of you cease at following Christ. You say, well, that's an easy thing to say. It is absolutely factually practical to say that. There can be, I have seen other partners where the husband and wife, one's saved and one's not, or one's walking with Jesus, the other one's not, and that believer decides to follow Jesus, not their spouse. And when they follow Jesus, something dramatic begins to happen in that relationship. The sad thing today is many people do not believe it because they don't see it. It's like people saying today, how come God doesn't grow people's legs anymore and eyeballs? He does that in many parts of the world, but he's given us his word. He would probably say to us, why should I show you a miracle when you won't even look at my Bible and read it? Miracles are to confirm the word. The word's not to confirm miracles. We need to pick up the Bible. We need to stop and think who you and I really are. And I'm telling you, and you come and you approach this argument from where you're at. Are you a wife? Are you a wife-to-be? Were you once a wife? A husband? Think of this. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, my sins, not Lisa's sins, my sins put Jesus on the cross. You say, didn't Lisa's sins put Jesus? Yes, but I'm not responsible for those sins. I'm responsible for my sins. I put Jesus on the cross by my sins. If you go into a marriage or if you are wanting to protect your marriage and you're walking around in that marriage as you are holier than thou and you're condescending upon your spouse, you need to stop and you need to look and consider again who you really are. I put Jesus on the cross with my sins. That should help me approach my spouse instead of me pointing fingers at her and being critical. I need to stop as a believer. In your marriage, in our marriages, the Bible has to be applied by me to Lisa or by you to your husband or wife. You say, are you sure you said that right? Yes, the Bible is to be applied by me to Lisa. Are you a wife tonight? Then the Word of God, the Bible, is to be applied by you to your husband. Do you pray for your husband? Do you give him scripture? No, no, he'll think I'm silly. Listen, do it. There's a supernatural power, and you will put a shield around your marriage and protect your home. God will honor it. I'm telling you now, you need to do that. Avoid divorce at all costs. The Bible says in Mark 9:35, and he sat down and called the 12 together unto himself, and he says, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. You want to be first? Oh, yes, I want to be first. In marriage, marriage is an amazing thing, you guys. I know that in Hollywood, they tell you that marriage is designed to bring you happiness. You'll never find that in the Bible. The God who invented marriage did not tell you it's going to make you happy. Happy may be a byproduct of the marriage. God invented marriage to make you holy. God invented marriage to bring two individuals together as one. And in that love, listen, in that love and in that commitment comes a family which builds a tribe, which builds a community, which builds a nation, which builds a world. But you don't hear that stuff now anymore. It's all about this, especially the younger generation. You guys have been lied to. It's all about how you feel. Oh, gosh, when I look at him, I just feel. Oh, my gosh. You feel what? What? I can't describe it. Oh. And so what? What is that? Oh. What are you going to do with that? No, seriously, what are you going to do with it? It's so overpowering. It's so strong. That's called emotions. Hormones, those are real and they're powerful, but guess what? You better not bank on those things because you'll wind up being broke, and I don't mean in money. I mean your heart will be broke. Oh, my goodness, when I see her, I get goosebumps. Then let me promise you something. In 10 years, you'll get goosebumps, but that's because she left the door open in the dead of winter. That doesn't work. And that's the terrible thing about people that today are young and they haven't been given a balance or a stable platform. That it's all about feeling. It's all about, oh my goodness, it's all about hype. And when you strip away all the veneer and you really get down to it about what real love is all about and what a marriage is, it is an absolute union and it's spiritual. It's ordained by God. And the world makes it a horrible thing. The world makes fun of it. The world tears it apart. Why do you think the world approaches it like that? Because it was created by God. Why do you think the world wants to re-engineer it? Because it was created by God. The world hates marriage. The world hates a husband and a wife and children. This whole worldly system's against it. A commitment of marriage? Yeah, you know what? You shouldn't rush into marriage. You need to pray, Christian. You need to seek God and seek godly counsel. Listen to the Lord. But we need to stop and realize that you and I, first of all, are servants to that spouse of ours. All right, raise your hand if you heard me. You're awful quiet about that one. I'm going to say it again. I might come down there and make you hear it. We are to be servants to our spouses. When your wife throws up, you clean it up. When your husband breaks his ankle, you know, you take out the trash. It's a love thing. It's not a feeling. It is a decision. I'm going to love her. And listen, a Christian, the context, which is what we speak of tonight, I'm going to love her because God wants me to love her. And when you begin, you say, that sounds very unromantic. Here's the cool thing. That when you obey God, and we'll talk about that in the end, when you obey God, everything kicks in. God rewards obedience, and you're saying, I just can't find that perfect person. I can't find Mr. Right. I can't find Mr. or Mrs. Miss Right. Miss whatever. You know what? I think I'm convinced now. Look, I can say this. I'm 51 or something. I forget now. It's kind of nice. I'm losing my memory as I get older. But I know this. I've been married 30 years, and I know this. That you make marriage happen. You just make it. And I'm not going to tell you publicly what I do to make our marriage happen, but I can't wait to make our marriage happen. And what do you do? Well, you know, I don't have that feeling anymore. You ever hear that before? I just don't have that feeling anymore. You know, I'm not sure if I ever really loved her in the first place. Listen, that is when you stop and you remember who you are in Jesus, that you and I were a bunch of rotten, stinking sinners saved by the grace of God, and we need to get our sights realigned and think again that my God loved me when I didn't even know who he was. My God made his commitment to me to take me to heaven, and I didn't even want him. My God died on a cross for my sins and rose again from the dead, and I wasn't even yet born. You need to remember, because if you start to have grandiose thoughts about how wonderful and flawless you are, and this marriage, you know, if it wasn't for me, no, wait a minute. So, Christian, listen up. Avoiding divorce is getting a very healthy view of who I am in this marriage. And you arrest those thoughts. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Number two, being a Christian and avoiding divorce, we need to do this. We need to remember that you and I no longer belong to ourselves. This is kind of fun. We don't belong to ourselves. You say, well, I don't like that. That's very chauvinistic to say, oh, wait a minute. Not at all. Because did you know, no matter how independent you think you might be, that every human being has a desire to be loved and to be, for a lack of a better term, to belong to someone or to be, in a sense, owned by someone. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean an arm wrapped around you, a hand being held, a commitment being made, a covenant being established. Every human being longs for that, unless, by the way, the Bible says God has given them the gift of being single. And there are people who have that gift. They just want to be single. And the Bible says that those people are made for ministry. I mean, they're just serving Jesus, perfectly focused at all times. It's great. It's awesome. But listen, you and I need to remember that you and I do not belong to ourselves anymore in our marriage. So, well, who do we belong to? Well, of course, obviously God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20 that we were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God made us. He owns us. Oh, so then it's God and me, right? No, I didn't say that either. The Bible tells us that it's God first, and then it's that spouse. See, why? Why is that? Because marriage is a ministry like no other ministry on the planet. Oh, Pastor Jack, I'm going to go to seminary. I'm going to become a pastor or a missionary. Hey, that's fantastic. That's great. But just know this. Until you're married, you're going to be missing some depth to your ministry. Why? What do you think Timothy warns us about a pastor being married to one wife and having his kids under rule, under his command, under his stewardship? Because it says if he cannot take care of his own home, how in the world will he ever be able to take care of the church?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, sharing some biblical and practical wisdom on marriage. It's a presentation called Being a Christian and Avoiding Divorce. Now, this is part of a greater topical series we're presenting here on Real Radio called Life and the Bible, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, what we heard on today's broadcast is a good example of what you'll hear throughout the series. Some of the titles that we've heard so far are Being a Christian While Being a Man, While Being a Woman, While Being on Campus, and so forth, and there's more to come. The Life and the Bible series is now available for purchase on either CD or DVD. Visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.